Hey, Jamie.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a really long time. I actually lost track of how long it had been.
I think we just missed one week.
We did just miss one, but since there are 2 weeks between everything, that puts us at like, it's been a month since our last sit down and chat, which kind of sucks because we really haven't talked in between then and now. Like, we maybe chatted a little bit, but not a whole lot. We've been really busy doing our own thing, and that kind of backburnered chronic, but I think we've been kind of getting back into that a little bit. But there have been other exciting things going on for us.
Yeah, you've had some family issues, right? And some
yep.
issues. And I wanted to keep my distance. I know how that stuff goes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's why we haven't really talked in between them much. But things are going better. Yes, no?
Yeah, things are going pretty well. Like you kind of mentioned there, I had to take a little bit of time just because I've been having a lot of like family health issues with my kind of close family. So parents and like close uncles and stuff. And so that kind of added to some stress. And then additionally, I guess I'm just going to go into kind of what I've been doing the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I had the last like kind of hard, fast deadline for the way we're doing things at Linux Academy for a course that I had only a couple weeks really to prep. And that was because I'm an idiot, and I promised something just kind of on a whim, and ended up getting it done a couple days late. But I was doing a Python 3 course, but I was just like heads down, invested in this, doing everything I could to make this course really, really good. And the previous course I had released was Python 2, and I took a lot of the things that I learned from that course, baked them into this course, and released it. And it's been really well received, and that is pretty awesome, but it was a lot of hard work over a very short amount of time. So it pretty much took all possible extra time, and when I wasn't doing that, I was just like really exhausted.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, so yeah, that's why we didn't record last time. I actually didn't have a lot to update as well. I've been kind of busy with other things, and that's one thing I like about chronic is we haven't put like a deadline on it for ourselves. Cause I feel like if we do that, we might get more stuff done, but we won't have as much fun doing it. And, you know, we may suffer from burnout from all, cause we have all these other things going on as well. So I'm cool with all that.
I think for both of us, chronic's kind of a learning testbed sort of thing.
Right.
And we've been playing with a lot of things.
With a really good side benefit, creating an application or sort of applications that we've been wanting for several years now.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, something we can actually work on. But like right now, and I'm going to talk about kind of what I actually did accomplish over the last couple of weeks, is that I'm using it to test out doing stuff in Chef, which even though I, you know, notoriously have hated Chef in the past, I'm using this as an opportunity to use Chef as a configuration management tool because, one, Elixir doesn't make a lot of sense to deploy using containers if we don't want to kill processes, which would be a bad thing for timers. So we have to do it kind of just deploying to VMs and sort of having Erlang and Elixir running on servers. So Chef made sense in that situation, but it's also one of the things that I just kind of need to learn for my job so that I can help students go through those things. And this seemed like the perfect, like, real application for me to work on to figure out how to be better about doing that. So I've actually been spending my time doing that, and it's beneficial.
Yeah, so you want to go into kind of what you've come up with
sure.
Chef?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of days I've just been messing around with deploying a Chef server. So if you're unfamiliar with how Chef works, it can work in a couple different ways. But one of the big things that would be the difference between Chef and something like an Ansible for doing configuration management is that Chef uses a client server model. Ansible uses a push model. So from Ansible, you can go on any workstation that has access to the machines that you want to administer and you can run your playbooks. And when you're working with Chef, it's more of the situation where you have a server that has all the information, and then your clients periodically say, okay, this is who I am, let me run my Chef client thing, and it'll go off and see if there have been any updates to what should be run on that server. So we need to have a Chef server first, and then we can have nodes, or what they're called in Chef land, that can be configured by that. And so I've been setting up the Chef server, and then I wanted to make sure we had things set up properly there. So I was like, all right, let's get this thing going with Let's Encrypt. And it's been a while since I've used Let's Encrypt, and I needed to not use it with the, like, Nginx plugin. So I used it with dnSimple, and that actually worked out really well.
You used dnSimple's API to do that?
I used the, yes, but indirectly. I didn't really have to do anything. I just needed to have an API token for it, and I used the certbot utility for Let's Encrypt. Gotcha. And the dnSimple plugin that they have for that. So I could basically say, okay, you need to do, because basically what they have to do is they need to do a check to make sure that I'm the owner of the domain name. And you can put a dnSimple API token in a file there, give it that file, and tell it that, okay, this domain, you're going to renew the certificate using this configuration file, and it'll go off and do that. So that can now auto-renew itself, and we won't have to worry about it for our Chef server. And then I'm going to continue to do that with basically all of our chronic subdomains.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know anything about Chef, so this is going to be a really good learning experience for me. So I'm happy that you're taking that on, and I will just eat your knowledge.
Yeah, and I mean, historically, you've used a lot of like Heroku, so you've used a platform as a service for a lot of things. And I used that when I first started, and then I got to this thing where I'm a super big cheapskate is what it comes down to. And I like to get the most like bang for my buck, as it were. And so like running your own servers that you configure is actually like cheaper on a per month basis, right? But it does require you to know these other things.
For sure. I mean, it's cheaper in the fact that that's what you're spending your money on.
But yeah, not
I would argue about, you know, cheaper in terms of supporting and updating when Ruby versions and patches come out, things like that. But the other reason is like Heroku and the like, that doesn't make sense for our Elixir app either.
Yeah, very
true. Because that would also kill processes. So
yeah, for me, I like to do this. And the other like upside to doing something with configuration management, or this is another reason why I really like containers for doing things, is that you can package things up to be reproducible. They can be duplicated, right? Like I can come up with my set of cookbooks and figure out like, okay, if I run these cookbooks on a brand new Ubuntu machine, it's going to come out configured the way I want it to, with all of the users that we need, with all of the security settings that I want. And I can invest the time to do that once. And then, yeah, I have to keep it up to date as we go on. Or I don't, right? Like, I need to know about patches and security-related things. But when it comes to the actual like updating of the software, I can decide if I want to that I'm going to continue to run Ruby 2.3 or something on a server, and know that this is what my application works with. It's a known good build of my application, and that can be reproducible across machines. It gives you, we called it, when I worked at SquareMouth, my boss always referred to it as having a tissue paper architecture, like you could just, or infrastructure, and you could just kind of throw away your servers and just replace them with new ones very quickly. And that is something that's kind of nice, especially in Erlang land, where we can connect the Erlang VMs together. You can do let Erlang do its own networking in between them, and then we can have it dispatch processes all over the place. If Chronic becomes huge and we have to run processes all over, we can have many, many servers that are all kind of governed by the same hive mind of Erlang processes.
Yeah, that's nice. That'd be super nice to kind of scale and all that other jazz.
Yep, but that's pretty much been it for me in the last 2 weeks. I'm going to continue doing this. I want to get the configuration of all these servers done before I kind of move back into doing stuff in the application space. But then once I do that, we should be in a good spot to where I can continue working on the mobile app.
Nice. So what's your next task on the mobile app?
It's been so long since I messed with the mobile app, I kind of don't remember, to be honest. I think we are getting closer and closer to the situation where we need to maybe start thinking about and working in users as a thing, so we can have I can know which timers I have run personally besides just my device. I want to we want to be able to go multi-device, which you've been working on the actual web client for it. So once that's out, it'll be even more imperative that we can connect what's going on in that with the mobile app.
Yeah, I think actually the next thing before the users, because users will need to know what timers we ran, but we need to know that we have timers that ran. So, like, I don't know, can your mobile app start a new timer?
Yeah.
And so I think we need endpoints like save this timer, as the previous, as a timer that we already ran. and save.
Oh, I see what you're kind of a timer history.
Yeah, and save events within that timer. Like, hey, I paused it at this time, and I restarted it at this time. Things like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually interesting because that can be all done server side. That doesn't even require a change to the mobile app.
Exactly, except that you need to send those events, right? Well, no,
you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm talking about the previous timers. Yeah, you're talking about during the timer, we capture all those events. So pausing, yeah. Starting. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's correct.
Yeah, I guess we could go off and create kind of a, I think it could be a good thing to go down and maybe create something like a history view. Right. So you can see like, oh, here's my history of everything that I did using Chronic. Like I started timer here. I went without pause, ended it here, and then, you know, continued restarting. So you can kind of give yourself a history that, yeah, that seems like a good idea. And that's something that from a view standpoint, that wouldn't be that hard to build.
Right. And actually, now that I'm thinking while you're talking, I think even more important than that would be creating kind of a default workflow so that timers can automatically, like the next timer can automatically start mm-hmm. after one's done. That may be probably the next step that we should take because that would make it more useful for me personally. You know, yeah. I don't have to sit there and hit a button to start the next timer. The next timer automatically starts. And that timer might be a break timer for 5 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the combination would actually, replace what I currently use any Pomodoro/timer app for.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think if we move on to we're really workshopping this live right now, but if we move off from what we have right now into building out the workflow thing and just set up the first workflow, we don't even need to have a way to create other workflow items.
Exactly.
But since we know we want to go into having these be something that's customizable, for now, though, we can just set up like Pomodoro. And it can be, you know, a string of the full set to where it's like 25 on, 5 off, 25 on, right. 5 off until you get to your long break of 15. Yeah, I think it would be good to set up that actual workflow. We just need to kind of sit down and talk about what we want to do for the edge cases. Like, well, technically, if they stop their timer midway through, then they broke the workflow. Do we send them back to the start of a Pomodoro like workflow session?
Yeah. Yeah. We should talk about those. Not live though, because that'll eat up the rest of the time.
Yeah, that'll take way too long. But we can move into what you've been up to.
So for the last month or so, some non-Chronic stuff. I'm working on this new company that I'm not yet ready to announce. I'm sorry, it's a mouthful, but we want to announce it.
All the secrecy.
All the coordination together. So, the other thing is tied to that is I landed kind of a large client project, which took a lot of my time, like a whole week of, you know, estimations and project costs and all this stuff. And I'm not going to go too deep into that, but that took up some time. The other thing I've been working on is I'm doing a workshop with a coworker of mine. And he's doing a workshop where somebody can learn both the client side being an iOS app using Swift, as well as the server side, the back end, the API, which is going to be Ruby. So we're kind of co-hosting a workshop where he's going to talk about front end stuff, and I'm going to talk about the back end stuff. And so we're building an app for that that's going to be used in this workshop. And so we've been kind of this workshop is in Indianapolis at IndieCode. In April. But we've been kind of speccing out this app and building this app beforehand, obviously. We don't want to wait like a week before the talk to do this. So the app we're building is pretty cool. We've had this idea for a while. We've pitched this to a couple conferences before, but haven't. This is the first time we've been accepted.
I think you talked about it a little last time, and you based it off of a paintballing movie.
Ah, yes, I did talk about it. Yes, called Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Where, yeah, you can kind of tag people to meet in real life. Kind of the app kind of gives you a buddy to meet in real life. So that's going really well. I'm using Netflix's JSON, FastJSON API, FastJSON
How is that? I saw that they released that the other day, but I haven't gone and done any like benchmarks or anything like that. Is it like noticeable?
It's noticeable. I haven't done benchmarks as well, but it is noticeable. And it's pretty, it's just really kind of a thin layer on top of like, just kind of create the serialization and deserialization for JSON API objects. But I'm really, really liking it.
Cool.
And I think I may move that, use that over on callback as well and actually use a JSON API, which I know we've kind of talked about in the previous season.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're bringing up callback, and this harkens back to last year, but what's the state of callback right now? We haven't talked about it in months at this point.
Yeah, that's the state of it. It's still being used. it's still being used. Really, the only thing left is to create a put front end on it, which I'm going to... my goal is to have it done by April, so we will start talking about it soon.
Okay.
So... been working on that workshop. And then for chronic stuff, for the last probably the week, I've been working on the web front end, the web app for this. We're using React for it. And I finally kind of set up kind of a responsive layout and put pieces where they need to go, learned all about style components and React. Using the React style flex grid component to kind of get the responsiveness stuff in there. So I have a PR out there for you. Not sure if you saw that, but
I did see that, and I think I marked the email as read, and I archived it and totally forgot that there was a PR. So I'm going to go out and read that and put that on my things to do in the future. But yeah, I haven't looked at it yet.
So that's out there, and so the next step for that is to actually get the timer running. I'm just going to work on this, the play and pause of a timer as well as the countdown. And I'm planning on using a lot of your Redux stuff that you have used.
Cool.
So I was looking at that yesterday and seeing how that would fit into the front end. Yeah. So that's kind of what I've been working on. The other thing I've been working on with Chronic is I want to do an Alexa skill for it. And so I thought it'd be a cool demo to show like pausing the timer on Alexa and starting it up on and seeing it pause on the web app and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading up on Alexa skills. I've been taking that Treehouse, creating an Alexa skill course, which is it's pretty good. Like the Amazon Alexa platform is pretty easy. And I'm pretty excited about that platform because they announced that they're going to have the ability in the near future to send notifications. So from your server to Alexa, we'll be able to send notifications. So that'll help us to do things like when the timer stops, we can actually send that information back to Alexa. You know, just like Alexa has with its own internal timers, you can say, hey, you know, the timer's up.
So nice.
That'll be exciting. So, and I'm assuming and I'm hoping that that'll, I think it's in beta now, but I think it'll be out by the time we release this at least. So that'll be nice.
That would be pretty awesome. I actually didn't. So their internal timers must be managed on servers also, because I unplugged our Alexa the other day.
Yeah.
I guess technically they could do it without, like they could do some sort of timestamp related thing and just, you know, save it to a file to note, like I have a timer running.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. Like a couple minutes later, I plugged it back in and like it got resynced with the Wi-Fi and still knew where it was at in the timer. I was like, okay, I'm impressed.
Huh. I wonder what it would do if it was past the timer.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's the next 2 weeks. Chronic-wise, I'm going to kind of continue that. I should have play and pause done by that for the front end by that time for the web app. And then I want to have that demo of pausing it, playing on the Alexa side, and seeing the web app playing pause.
Awesome. That sounds great. Yeah, this was when I saw the repo show up for Chronic Alexa, I was kind of excited since I just recently got an Echo. And it's a really useful thing. It's one of those, as we're building a house right now, I'm thinking about all the ways I can like do automation and stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm going to put these dots all over the place just so I can constantly be talking to my house to tell it like, hey, do this thing.
The speech is just is crazy. I think that's going to be so huge in the near future. Yeah, if I was building a house, I would do the exact same thing. I'd put smart home stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not going down the route of building it in the way that some like builders will kind of have you do it, because it's like so locked into like if you need to make changes to your automations, you have to like go contact some company and stuff. Like, I'm a programmer. I know how to mess with this stuff. I can use like open source automation software, which is what the SquareMouth office uses. And it allowed us to like pretty easily go and do things. And yeah, it didn't require us to call anybody to modify those sort of things. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I'm recently redoing our basement to make an office, which is still in disarray from the previous office that was stolen from me. Anyway, so I'm going through and like putting in lights and stuff, and I'm putting new lights and all these things to make my whole basement smart. Turning on
sweet
space heaters and things like that.
Well, nice. Yeah, I don't have anything else to talk about for this particular week. It's kind of a short episode for us, unless you have any other point of discussion you want to bring up.
No, I like them short.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm excited to get back in and keep working on Chronic, and I'm really enjoying all the chef-related stuff, so I'm going to try to document this as I'm going through so that you can learn from the things that I'm doing also, and I'll give you a kind of a tour at some point of what I'm doing. But yeah, it's going to be nice to get this thing moving, and hopefully we can have something that's usable internally pretty soon.
Cool. Talk to you later.
Later, dude.